Well, dear saints, it's good to be together again.
Amen.
We're so thankful for the rich ministry that the Lord has given us.
Amen.
I'd like us just to read this title again together. If you have your morning revival, it's page 2 in the hard copy. The title is, on one hand, apparently simple, yet very profound.
Amen.
The triune God
being life to the tripartite man for the fulfillment of God's eternal progress.
Amen.
The more we touch, as Paul terms it, the purpose of the ages in Ephesians 3:11. The more we realize that God, in his heart, has a good pleasure.
Yes.
He has a will. And that will is the divine economy.
Yes.
On one hand, the economy is his plan. On the other hand, the economy is the dispensing of himself into his tripartite people.
Amen.
But it's helpful that we're all reminded that in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, as some of you have already referred to, verses 26 and 27, that man was created in God's image. We must remember that image is for expression. Yet to have God's image and to be created according to his likeness is not sufficient. If the Bible went from there to the New Testament, we miss a crucial part, and that is in Genesis 2.
Yes.
The image of God,
right,
the likeness of God, even exercising God's dominion, requires the life of God.
Amen.
This cannot be emphasized too much.
Mm-hmm.
All human beings, even those who our unbelievers today, are created in God's image according to his likeness. But not all human beings have partaken of Christ as the tree of life. So in Genesis 2, the triune God presents himself to us in the form as food, the very tree of life.
Yes.
So this life and this life alone can fulfill God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
The purpose of the ages.
Amen.
You know, it mentions here in the title that we just read, the triune God being life. Remember, we have an expression in Ephesians chapter 4, the life of God. Then in John 14:6, the Lord said, I am the life. Romans 8:2, we have the expression, the spirit of life. There's more verses, but for sake of time, I think this is sufficient. But we all must be impressed, the triune God, the Father embodied in the Son, reaching man and entering man as the spirit, is life.
Amen.
He's the reality of the image of God, the likeness of God, the dominion of God, and we must be filled with him as life if his purpose is going to be fulfilled in and through us.
Amen.
Most of us, I would say, are familiar with the traditional gospel. In no way do we disparage. We love the gospel. But the gospel many of us received from the time we were very young spoke of God's love, his coming to us in the person of Christ to save us. We enjoy the forgiveness of sins. We receive eternal life. And basically, the last point is that one day we will go to be with him in heaven. But the whole purpose of God being life to man with this kind of gospel is missed. We need to be impressed, saints. God's being life, as expressed in this title, begins in our experience with our regeneration.
Amen.
And goes all the way through glorification.
Amen.
Regeneration begins when you receive the Lord.
Amen.
In your spirit.
Amen.
Right? When you are born of the Spirit.
Amen.
In your spirit.
Amen.
According to John chapter 1, this is to receive Him.
Amen.
To be begotten of God. This is regeneration.
Amen. Amen.
This is the beginning of the triune God being life to man.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
What kind of man?
God man.
What kind?
A God man.
God man? What else? What's the title say?
Tripartite man.
Tripartite man. I think all my time growing up in a Christian home, I never heard that. I don't know, did you, Eric?
No.
I never heard that I have a spirit and a soul and a body. Religion and liberal theology basically says the spirit and the soul are synonymous. But Paul the Apostle doesn't say this.
Right.
1 Corinthians 5, yeah. Verse 23, right? His prayer, his burden, is that we would be sanctified holy.
Yes.
Spirit and soul and body.
Amen.
So when we're regenerated by the divine life, the eternal life of God, by our receiving Christ, now our human spirit has been made alive.
Amen.
There's a witness in our spirit.
Amen.
We are the children of God.
Amen.
But God's goal is to be life.
Yes.
To us, the regenerated, chosen, redeemed one.
Amen.
And this is a lifelong process.
Yes.
Are you saved?
Amen. Yes.
Wow, it's kind of weak.
Amen.
Are we saved?
Yes. Amen.
Fully saved?
Amen.
Not yet.
I'm on the way.
On the way.
We're on the way.
Yeah.
I think if we're honest, we'll all say, by the Lord's mercy and grace, I'm on the way.
Amen.
To be what? To be transformed.
Amen.
To be conformed.
Amen.
To the image of,
amen,
the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
Eventually, when He comes, to be glorified in our body.
Yes.
Marvelous. So, this life that the triune God is, we need to be impressed.
Yes.
I think one of our sisters read this portion, is immortal. The life is eternal.
Yes.
You know, that which is mortal, which is the human life we have, what is the difference between mortal life and immortal life? Mortal life is subject to death. That means that if the Lord tarries, and you're a little older this year than you were last, if the Lord tarries another 20 years, some of us may not be here. But we all must realize that day by day, God's goal in this age, between eternity past,
yes,
when He initiated His eternal economy, and eternity future, there's a bridge, and it's called the bridge of time. And you and I are on that bridge, and this is where God wants to be life to you.
Amen.
Be life to me.
Amen.
And this life that's come within us, saints, is a corporate life.
Yes.
If you get into Genesis chapter 1 carefully and some corresponding verses, you will see God created a corporate man.
Yes.
It's very meaningful. So the life with us, in us, is a flocking life.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Just like sheep. It's,
amen,
a corporate life. There's a consciousness within us of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Of course, the degree of that consciousness has everything to do with the growth and the increase of this life within us. But we are really burdened One point is this. If we are going to know the triune God as our life day by day, we have to be in the process of transformation.
Yes. Amen.
There's no shortcut. There's no quick way.
Amen.
But the Lord in His sovereignty has ordained the process of transformation.
Yes.
I just share with you, it just came to me now, many years ago in Los Angeles, I had the opportunity to bring my mother to a meeting of the church there. She was a real lover and seeker of the Lord. And she had, for some years, been going through a lot of physical suffering, significant. It was quite difficult. As children, we couldn't understand. But anyway, she came to that meeting that night. And so afterwards, she just opened up. She just began to fellowship with the saints, how she was suffering, and she didn't understand why. And one of the brothers stood up, and I never heard this word, but then he began to fellowship with really all the saints, but it was a special word for my mother. That God intends to transform us in this age.
Amen.
To make us precious stones for His building. That left a real impression upon me as a young person, and it was quite a sweet strengthening and encouragement to my mother. The suffering didn't pass, but I can tell you for sure the increase of Christ was manifested. There was more of the Lord's life manifested through her. Well, I think it's really important, saints, that let's also here look at page 3 in our outline, if you have the hard copy. This is under day 3. Let's just all read together point E. E as an echo?
Yes.
Okay.
God's eternal purpose is accomplished by the divine life dispensed into His chosen and redeemed tripartite people. As God's life is wrought into His people, a metabolic reaction takes place within them that causes them to be transformed and to become the same as God in life, nature, and expression.
Amen. So, God being life in our spirit is the beginning, right, stage of our salvation. But He wants to spread from our spirit into our soul. He wants our soul to be permeated and saturated with Christ. Had you ever considered such a word? Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ.
Amen.
I need to ask myself, to me, to live, is it Christ?
Amen.
Or is it fashion? To me, to live, Christ? Or to live is money? For me, to live is what? Paul said, for him to live is Christ.
Yes.
This means Christ was entering in and permeating and saturating his soul.
Amen.
Well, you know, this expression here in point E is very helpful. Notice God's eternal purpose. This is the purpose of the ages. It's accomplished by what? Right, by the divine life dispensed into His chosen and redeemed tripartite people.
Amen.
As God's life is wrought into His people. So there's the dispensing day by day.
Amen.
As that dispensing transpires and we cooperate with Him, something of the divine life and nature is wrought into us, and a metabolic reaction takes place.
Yes.
You say, well, I don't know. Is that really true? Have you ever check the history of a butterfly? Mm-hmm. You see the cocoon on the branch?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an ugly thing. It's, you need to get rid of it. But actually, that cocoon inwardly, there's a process going on.
Right.
It's a metabolic process.
Right. Amen.
Something will come out, absolute, a transformation.
Yes.
Right, of that little cocoon. It's quite meaningful. I've always appreciated this definition of transformation. It's an inward metabolic process in which God spreads his divine life and nature into every part of our being, particularly our soul, bringing Christ and his riches into every part, every part of our being.
Amen.
As the divine new element.
Yes.
Amen.
As the new element comes in gradually, little by little, he discharges our old natural element.
Amen.
Right? And we become fit for God's building.
Amen.
Because we're being transformed into his image, we're being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
So the dispensing and the rotting in of God's life causes us to be transformed, to become the same as God in life and nature.
Amen.
And expression. I don't know if you noticed this week, but I'd just like you to turn here today. Day three, I believe it is. Third paragraph on page 11. Did you notice the word mold? This is the only time it occurs this week. God chose and predestinated us according to his foreknowledge in order to conform us to the image of his Son.
Amen.
Christ, the Son of God, is the mold God has put us into him.
Yes.
Christ, the Son of God, is the mold. God has put us into him to conform us to his image, to be his many brothers, that he should be the firstborn among us. You know, whatever you put into a mold, and I can remember as a boy, and I'm sure many of you can, my mother would make Jell-O.
Yes.
I had this picture. If you know, if you have a mold like of grapes, or a mold of a pretty flower, you know, something organic, and you put in all whatever's in gel and water, right? And then it begins to gel.
Yes.
It begins to form. When you take off that form, the gel there is exactly the same as the mold.
Yes.
Right? No difference. Plus, you can eat the gel. That's quite wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Christ is the mold.
Yes.
It's his life that is indestructible.
Yeah.
It is his life that is a life in resurrection.
Amen.
It is his life that is immortal.
Yes.
His life is not subject to death.
Right.
Death only causes it to thrive.
Amen.
To grow.
Amen.
To increase.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Amen.
Then, saints, look with me here just briefly, Colossians 1:24. Paul's word to the saints in Colossae: I now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf.
Amen.
Did you ever consider your sufferings from this perspective? Our sufferings as believers is for the saints, is for the church of God.
Amen.
I rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf, and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ.
Amen.
In my flesh, for his body,
Amen.
Which is the church.
Amen.
Remember, the afflictions of Christ are two categories, right? One is to accomplish redemption.
Amen.
Only Christ himself, right, could bear these afflictions. He accomplished our redemption. But for the producing and building of the church, you and I, the apostles and the believers, we must fill up, right, the afflictions that are lacking.
Amen.
This is very meaningful.
Amen.
So consider this, and then look here at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 10. Sisters, why don't you read it if you have the verse? Philippians 3:10.
To know him and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
And the fellowship of his suffering.
Amen.
Being conformed to his death.
Amen.
Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Our amens and our rejoicing is a little different.
Amen.
But to know him and the power of his resurrection,
amen,
and the fellowship of his suffering,
amen,
requires us to be conformed to his death.
Yes.
And if you can see here, wonderful note 4, to take Christ's death as the mold of one's life.
Amen.
This is what it is to be conformed to his death.
Amen.
We take Christ's death,
amen,
as the mold of our life.
Amen.
Paul lived a crucified life continually, a life under the cross,
amen,
just as Christ did in his human life,
yes,
his human living. Through such a life, the resurrection power of Christ is experienced and expressed. Now look at this, saints, the Lord himself. The mold of Christ's death refers to Christ's experience of continually putting to death,
amen,
his human life,
amen,
that he might live by the life,
amen,
of God.
Amen.
Here is the only begotten Son of God,
amen,
sinless,
yes,
pure,
amen,
perfect,
amen,
and yet he denied his human life,
amen,
to live by the Father's life.
Amen.
This is what it is,
yes,
to take the mold of Christ's death.
Amen.
We continually,
amen,
by his life,
amen,
deny our natural human life.
Yes.
Amen.
And it's only in this experience, saints, that we actually can know and experience,
hallelujah,
the power of his resurrection,
amen,
and the fellowship of his suffering.
Amen.
So I just finished with this. This was day 4. If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink.
Amen.
If anyone thirsts,
amen,
let him come to me and drink. Amen. I believe the Lord has put in our spirit a thirst,
amen,
to know the Lord,
amen,
as life.
Amen.
That we like to be part of his purpose,
amen,
even the fulfillment of his purpose,
amen,
in this age.
Amen.
The saints, for this, he has to become our life.
Amen.
So day by day, he arranges our situations,
yes,
so we will be thirsty.
Amen.
The only thing that can satisfy that thirst,
right,
is himself.
Yes.
Amen.
The eternal life of,
amen,
God.
Amen.
Are you thirsty?
Yes.
Yes.
Many times this week I've been thirsty.
Amen.
I don't mean just for water, right? Inwardly, I've been thirsty.
Yes.
Then come.
Amen.
Come to him and drink.
Amen.
Amen.
He is the mold.
Hallelujah.
He is the resurrection life.
Amen.
He's accomplished everything.
Yes.
But now, as we inwardly come to him and drink,
amen,
we are supplied,
amen,
to deny ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
To deny our preference. To deny our opinion.
Yeah.
Amen.
And something metabolically is going on.
Yes.
We're like a big corporate cocoon.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Are you part of the cocoon?
Yes.
Amen.
Well, pretty soon, Lord. Oh, Lord, pretty soon.
Amen.
Begin cracking the shell.
God.
I think he is.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Are you thirsty?
Yes.
Come to him and drink.
Amen.
That means you have to leave where you are. Are you in your mind? Maybe some of you are in Taipei right now. or some are back in Charlotte. I don't think I am. Where are you? You have to leave where you are.
Amen.
Come to him.
Amen.
Come to him.
Amen.
And drink. This means open your being. Open your being to receive this,
amen,
life.
Amen.
This life will transform us in this age.
God.
Yes.
Eventually we will be glorified.
Yes.
For the fulfillment of his purpose.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Oh,
amen.
Oh. Lord.
Amen.